All right, guys, we are live here at Framing the World. We have a very special guest here in the studio today, and so we have... Oh, there he is.
Hello. How you doing, Paul?
Shane Jantz in the studio, and we're going to be talking about the David Icke interview we did a week ago. And so it should be a pretty interesting stream today. We also just wanted to quickly just kind of give updates on everything that's going on and just kind of just talk back and forth between, you know, Shane, who's, a good friend of mine. Yep. Shane is the one that wanted me to do this David Icke interview for months now, and I haven't been able to get a hold of him.
Yeah, I guess, Dave, I got turned on to David Icke from a friend of mine. And I know he's not a Christian and all that stuff, but he kind of opened my eyes to this COVID conspiracy and, you know, the things that were going on. And just he kind of got me to just take a different look at, what was going on in the world and what we were being told. And that's kind of how I started on this whole, COVID or I guess anti-COVID thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tried. He months ago, I'm telling you, when we were back in Arizona, right? You were trying me to get him on, and I emailed him a couple times. He never got back to me because he was being swamped then. He just got his YouTube channel shut down or Facebook just banned him or whatever because of that interview, and so he was going crazy. But before we get into this conversation, I wanted to quickly tell you guys about a few things that we're trying to accomplish here at Framing the World. And so, as you know, censorship is a huge deal. And so that's why this David Icke interview is not on our YouTube channel here. It is only on Brighteon and BitChute. And so if you guys head over to our Brighteon and BitChute channel, you can see right here, David Icke talks COVID-19, censorship, cashless society, world government, face masks, etc. And it has 542 views on it already. And so we have 85 subscribers, guys. Come on, people. We need way more than that. So head over to our BitChute channels and subscribe there. We're going to put the link in the description. Also head over to our Generation Conspiracy channel on Brighteon, and you can subscribe to that channel as well. We also have a backup YouTube channel. We're just trying to get, people to go to these channels. In fact, we should probably I was thinking about doing this, Shane. We should probably just like set a timer and just walk away and just give people 3 minutes to just go and subscribe to these things.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
So wait, before we do that though, there's one more plug I wanted to do. I keep going to that camera. It's usually on that camera. We also have made a new... It's kind of like Patreon, but it's called Subscribe Star. So it has the same kind of... it's still under review, so I haven't been approved yet, but I can start getting supporters now. So if you go over there, you can subscribe. And we're trying to replace Patreon with this, Subscribe Star, because... it supports free speech at Subscribestar, and so that's what we really need to, I need to diversify because, I don't want to be ruined, and, I'm putting too much faith in Patreon, and Patreon has been known to shut people down for the stupid things. So for now, I'm just... Guys, please head over to these channels. The link is in the description. So if you type in subscribestar.com/framingtheworld, subscribestar.com/framingtheworld, you can go there and subscribe. So we are going to put a countdown timer on the screen right now, and we're going to just give you guys 3 minutes to go and subscribe. This is what I want you to do. Everyone watching right now, go and subscribe to our Brighteon, BitChute, YouTube channel, our backup YouTube channel, and support us on Subscribestar. We really need your support. We count on your support every month. We've been completely deplatformed on all these sites. We don't make any money on our YouTube videos. The only way we make money is if you guys support us or buy our products. And what I've decided to do this month is do a giveaway to every new subscriber. You'll be entered in for this giveaway if you subscribe to our Subscribestar, if you subscribe to Patreon, if you're new to Patreon this month, or to Subscribestar this month, you're going to be entered in for a chance to win these products right here. And also, if you're a $50 or higher donor on Patreon right now, you'll also be automatically entered in. And so we're going to be giving away these on the last day of the month here. The new IFB Soul Winning Conference, the Red Hot Preaching Conference DVDs, the Synagogue of Satan book, DNA Science in the Jewish Bloodline book. We're going to be giving away The Pale Rider, this book right here. And we're also going to be giving away a really cool prize. This is kind of the grand daddy prize right here. It's a Confederate 1861 Confederate bill. It's authentic 1861 Confederate bill from Raleigh, North Carolina. It's a 20-cent bill. And so this is a really neat item you could win if you subscribe to our Subscribestar account or Patreon this month. And you say, well, I'm already subscribed to your Patreon. Well, all you have to do is increase your donation by $1 and you'll also be entered in. Or if, so that's how you get in. So we're going to take a 3-minute break here. And while you guys subscribe to these things, please, please, please do that. All right, guys, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Guys, well, I appreciate it. I really hope we got some new subscribers there. But today's episode, we're going to be playing clips, and this was your idea, Shane. This is your
yes,
idea.
Yes, it
this
was.
This was your brainchild that we were playing.
My brainchild. Yeah, I guess it was.
We were going to play clips of this David Icke interview and just kind of talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. I watched his interview and. He put a lot of information in there. He talked about a lot of things. And, I think that if we just unpack some of those things and just discuss some of the, some of the more things that kind of maybe pertain to us or that we're more interested in. I think we can really make a good go of it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people were offended that I had David Icke on because he does believe different things than we believe. But, you know, I don't want to be an echo chamber here on this channel, and I want to present unique information and information I believe in. Now, this conversation I had with him, I agree with almost nearly 100% of the things he said. He did say one statement, I think, towards the end that I did not agree with. But other than that, I like what he said was right on. So let's try to not focus on the messenger right here. Let's try to focus on the message. And I think he very clearly and succinctly said everything I'm thinking. I'm not very eloquent when I speak, and he just really encapsulized everything that I've been thinking over the last few months and just packaged it in this YouTube video. And so we're going to play this video, little clips of it, and then discuss it. Any thing you want to say before we get to this?
Yeah, a lot of the things that he says in this interview, he was saying back in February when I got turned on to like watching him, when somebody's like say, "Hey, have you heard of this guy David Icke?" And I just kind of YouTubed him and found out, and all the things that he said then, you know, he's saying again now, but they've all come true. So he's not like lying. It's not like he saw everything and now he's making an interview with you know, with you, Paul, to say, okay, this is what I found out. He was saying this stuff back in February before the lockdowns, before the coronavirus, like really was, you know, something that was a household name. He was just bang on back then. So, I think that, you know, like I said, unpacking this interview and just going through some of that stuff is really going to, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's get into it right now and play this clip.
So Tedros, when he said to everybody, test, 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 knew that the more you test, the more cases you get. So what's been happening around the world, I can talk very in detail about the British expression of this. They've been increasing the number of tests dramatically in the last few weeks. And the cases have gone up. Of course they have. And so the cases have gone up and they've said, we've got to have more lockdowns. We've got to have more restrictions and more fascism because we've got all these cases. So these people with all these cases, are they in hospital? Well, no. Are they dead? Well, no. Are they ill? No, but they're a case. They tested positive. This is how it's going. I've been on this road for 30 years, and I've been here, done that, been through 9/11, which was extraordinary. But this has got to be globally the most outrageous, but also the most transparently obvious scam that I've ever come across. And more people now, of course, lots of people are still, you know, what the government says must be true. But a lot of people now, their personal experience is not matching what they're being told. And I can see the gathering scale of the numbers of people who are simply not believing any of it now, and it's very encouraging. I mean, I spoke at a couple of events in Trafalgar Square in London in the last month, and the first one, 35,000 people turned up. Second one, 45,000 people turned up. You know, and they're just the people that actually would turn up, but. In the population in general, who wouldn't go as far as, you know, going to an event like that, they're completely not believing what they're being told.
And so, yeah, that's bang on.
Bang on. Bang on. Yeah. The testing, you know, like they're, you know, in Ontario, I think that they've been testing like 40,000 plus people a day just in the Toronto area. And, you know, they're getting like, you know, 500-600 people, but you know, they're just testing way more. Like when they were only testing 4,000 a day or 5,000 a day, you know, they were getting higher, you know, in comparison, they were getting higher numbers. And now they're testing like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands, and they're getting people. And then out of those, you know, 500-600 people that are positive, you know, most of them don't even know, you know, they're not sick. We're not seeing the hospital visits for that equal that, you know, 3,500 people, 4,000 people a week, you know, getting tested positive, but the hospitals aren't overrun. You know, I have a friend that works in the ICU in the hospital, that he's the guy that like actually deals with the COVID patients. You know, he's the one that's putting on the ventilator. You know, he, if you see him, you know, you're pretty much on your way out, and they're not overrun at all. Like there's like maybe one or two people in there. So, you know, like they're testing like crazy. They're talking about all these numbers, you know, the numbers going up, you know, it's getting crazy, but they're just testing more. And, it's just, you know, if you test 40,000 people and they all think they're sick and they're wearing masks and, you know, you got to get some kind of result out of that.
Yeah, and I love how he said that it's so transparently obvious that it's a hoax. And it is. I just don't understand how anyone could be sucked into this hoax of coronavirus or, the COVID-19. The whole thing's a scam, people. Wake up.
Yeah, you know, like, they're testing 42,000 people, again, in Toronto area. And the cases are going up, but, you know, and then they're saying, oh, well, everybody's out and about. But, you know, everybody's social distancing. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's sanitizing. Nobody's talking to anybody. But the numbers are still going up and up. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Either the mask, if everybody was protecting themselves and these masks are supposed to keep us from, you know, getting COVID, then you would think that the numbers would be going down, but you know, they're going up. So either the masks don't work or they're lying to us. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's play this next clip here.
Actually, I think he's talking about masks next.
Yeah.
And just one other point on the masks. Because the stadium in which all this is being played out is human perception, the target of this cult in everything, not just this, but blatantly this, is the human subconscious mind. Because if it can put programmed perceptions into the subconscious, not least through repetition, one of the greatest forms of mind control ever invented, then what happens is they filter through to the conscious mind, at which point people think that they are their own thoughts and their own opinions and their own conclusions. Because I talk to people all the time and they say, I'll tell you what's going on. And they tell you, and they genuinely believe they've concluded that. But in fact, what comes out of their mouth is the official narrative, undiluted. But it's gone in through repetition. It's all you hear in the mainstream media and from government. But it's come out as their own opinion. This is how the whole perception scam works. And the language of the subconscious is symbolism. It's why we dream symbolically rather than, or sometimes, but very rarely, literally. It's symbolic. And so they, of course, we know, I've been writing about this for decades, this cult has it, and the satanic and secret society networks, they have their own language of symbolism. Their symbols are everywhere. I mean, obvious ones like the pyramid and all-seeing eye on the reverse of the Great Seal and on the dollar bill, and there's the torch of illumination held by the Statue of Liberty and so on. But they have a whole language of symbolism, what they call an occult language. It's because of the power of symbolism to manipulate perceptions in the subconscious. This is why you see extraordinary numbers of pyramids and eyes, single eyes or seeing eyes, in children's cartoons. It's just extraordinary the number of times they turn up. And subliminal advertising, where they put a subliminal insert into an advertisement, which the conscious mind can't see, subliminal below threshold, that's to put perceptions and programs into the subconscious mind. So if you look at the mask from that point of view. They give you a conscious mind reason for something to keep the conscious mind happy. In the mask's terms, it's to protect you from the virus. But the real reason is subconscious. And if you look at the subconscious symbolism of the masks, A, if you are going to symbolize someone being silenced, you put something over their mouth. You look at the mask as a symbol of submission. You look at turning people literally faceless. Because the human facial movements and expressions is absolutely central to human discourse and interaction. So you've lost that. And then there's the deletion of individuality, the facial expressions, the look of the face. It's again, massively the foundation of individuality gone. It's about dehumanization. You walk down the street, you see all these people in masks. The number of people have told me they've passed a friend, they've had a mask on, the friend's had a mask on, they haven't even known the friend's passed them by.
Wow.
And it's the deletion, it's dehumanization that this mask thing is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole mask thing is just, it's just ridiculous. People are just walking around with these masks on and they're afraid to just look at you or you walk down the aisle in the grocery store and they're like, you know, if you're going down and you get too close, they're like jumping but they're supposed to be protected. They've got a mask on, but they're still afraid. And I really don't get it. I don't wear a mask, you know, just in my day-to-day routine. And I've been asked, you know, a lot of the stores now have stopped asking, at least in Canada, they stop asking if you're wearing a mask or like, where's your mask or whatever. And usually if you just walk by and say, I'm exempt, you know, just a little quick, I'm exempt, and they'll leave you alone. What I found now is it's the people in the stores that are asking, like, where's your mask, and you know, and or just giving you dirty looks and stuff. So it's not so much society, the retailer, it's actually society that's really pushing the mask on you.
Yeah, and they look, the elite realize that. That's why they program you, and that's what he's talking about. That they program you into believing it, and then you become their message. They don't even have to enforce it because they know the people out there will enforce it. And he said something it's a symbol of submission. And that's all people want. I mean, even in these workers in the grocery stores, they just want you to submit to them. They don't care if it actually protects you. You could wear the stupidest mask ever with the biggest holes. As long as you're wearing something, they'll be sufficient on that. It's just a symbol. They want you to submit to them. Same thing with the elite. They want you to know that you have no voice, you're silenced, and you're faceless, like you said. And it's dehumanization. It's what is the word?
Dehumanizing.
Wow, you said that really good.
Yeah, it is. It is dehumanizing, and you know, like, and you can kind of see that it's just to just make you feel less of a person. Because first it was the masks, and then people were like, well, I can't wear a mask. So then they give you the shield, the face shield. Well, you know, just looking at a face shield, like, what is that protecting you from? You're still breathing. It's still coming out under the mask. There's nothing stopping, you know, you're exhaling or even anything coming at you, because it's open. It's open on your face. You just have like a little barrier on your face that things can just come up or come out. Like it makes no sense. And it's not anything about protection, in my opinion. It's all about getting you to put something on your face and being told that you need to wear something on your face. And because you've been told you need to wear something on your face, if you don't, you don't fit into society, and society is going to, you know, really just come after you and shame you and make you feel guilty. And that's the whole point of it. I had a friend that, you know, tried to get into a store, and he got denied entry into the store. And, you know, he said, well, I'm exempt. And they went through the whole rigmarole about, you know, why he should and shouldn't go. So he ended up leaving the store. And so between him and I, we made some phone calls. We actually called the police station and we asked them about, you know, like, what can you enforce these masks? Now, this was a few months ago when the masks first started coming out. So we started asking, you know, can you guys really enforce this? Like, you know, like his rights were violated, you know, because he has the right to be exempt because he has a medical condition. And the police were like, we don't even know how to enforce that. And they just, they didn't know. So what they ended up doing is they ended up referring me to City Hall. So I ended up calling City Hall. City Hall is like a 24-hour number. So I called City Hall and I asked them about the 24-hour hotline and asked them about the bylaw for the COVID and your exemption. And she's like, to be honest, she goes, I don't even know how we'd enforce that. And so she's like, you got to call back in the morning. So I called back the next morning and I spoke to like the bylaw officer or whatever. And I said, you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, they could deny you. But, you know, again, we don't really know how to enforce it. And then my friend actually called like the government and he talked to them and they said, yeah, they could refuse you. But again, there's no real way to enforce it. So as you can see, as we followed up the different chains, nobody really knew how to enforce this exemption. You know, you can't breathe or whatever with a mask. So it wasn't really, you know, the guy at the store is basically the guy that made the rules and said, you can't come in. But he really has no authority because if you go up the chain right up to the government, there's nothing that anybody really knew what to do. So even if you got a charge, you got that fine or whatever, like I can't see how that would stick in court if you were to fight it because nobody knows what to do with it.
Yeah, and how ridiculous is it to think that we should make our officers, you know, go to all these stores and enforce these mask policies? And it's like, don't they have better things to do with their time, like stopping crime or looting or, you know, the many other things that they have to do? But no, they need to enforce this mask policy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, let's play another clip here from the David Icke interview that we did a week ago.
I was... been saying for decades that the basic structure of the global society, which they're now actually calling the Great Reset and the New Normal, is what I call the Hunger Games society. And basically, if you think of a pyramid, and at the top of the pyramid, you've got a tiny few people. Let's call them the 1%. I call them the cult, usually. The inner core of the cult. It's a global web of secret societies and semi-secret organizations, etc. So you've got them at the top. At the bottom in this Hunger Games society is planned to be almost the entirety of the rest of the population. In servitude through dependency to survive on the 1%. And between the two is planned, I've been writing this for decades, plan to be not just a police state, but a police military state. You know, as I said this in March, watch for the military getting more and more involved in all this. Now they're openly saying that in America, the military are going to be involved in rolling out the vaccine, saying same in Britain. They've now got the military helping the police. In Britain, it's so predictable. They're nothing if not predictable. So you have this structure, and the key is to have the population in general in servitude to the 1%, in dependency of the 1%, thus control. Now, if you're going to bring that about, one thing is absolutely essential, and that's that you must destroy the independent livelihoods of the population. You must destroy independent businesses, small businesses, medium businesses, even big businesses that are not connected to the cult. And you must destroy, obviously, the employment of people in those businesses. And this is why the very foundation of the scam was lockdown. Because this is how it worked. This global web I talk about, which is centrally controlled. One of its major centers in the world is China. And what they've done, because this web, this cult was behind the Mao Revolution, is behind the walls of the Chinese tyranny, they have been all this time incubating a model, a society model that they wanted to play out globally, to be the global way of human control. And it's based on technology. And that's what you have in China. So they've incubated this control system, vastly based on technology. I mean, you know, you see video reports of how it takes a few minutes to find someone in China because of all the technological surveillance, etc. And this Hunger Games society is not meant to be run by elected politicians, but by technocrats, bureaucrats, medical technocrats, scientists, engineers, and so on. Technocrats like those in Silicon Valley, who have more power than politicians now already. What they've done as a result, if we look at it, of this pandemic hoax, is they played out the Chinese model across the world. That's what they've done. People keep saying this is more and more like China. Yes, this is why. So China was the key, and the fact that it started in China was absolutely no accident, because that is a major center for this cult. They own the Chinese government. And so the key was to have this virus apparently appear in China, and then to make the Chinese response to it the response for the world, the Western world, etc. So what was the Chinese response? Draconian lockdown. People were even starving, it would seem, because they couldn't get out of their homes. It was absolutely draconian. And what happened then? Wuhan, you know, they were building hospitals in like 10 days. Oh, Wuhan crisis, they're building hospitals. Oh, my God. And then suddenly it all stopped. And it was all fine. And the hospitals were closed. They didn't even bloody open, most of them. And now, if you look at Wuhan today, it's party time. Everything's normal in Wuhan. And so the key to this sequence was that China was the blueprint to how to deal with it. So as soon as that happened, you had Tedros. He said, the way to deal with this is the way the Chinese have dealt with it. That's what he said, effectively. Indeed, not even effectively, that's what he said. And so as we went across into the West, they needed death numbers from computer models, projections, to justify the lockdown, because the lockdown was what they needed to destroy the livelihoods of people. And that's what they got, thanks to people like Professor Neil Ferguson, who's funded by Bill Gates, and he works at the Imperial College in London, a very, very dark, dark place, funded by Bill Gates. And so we had this first wave, if you like, of lockdown, and that's done for enormous numbers of independent businesses and independent business employment. And now what they're doing is they're coming through the winter. I said this in March. This is what's going to happen. And they want to now finish off almost all the others. And another thing that's happening is what are the major businesses they're targeting? Anything to do with entertainment, anything to do with anything that creates people coming together, human discourse, interaction, sporting events, entertainment events, concerts, all these things that are chill out, relaxation, love of life situations, they're shutting them down. They're the ones that are really being targeted. The bars, the restaurants, because they want, it's a psychological war on the human psyche. And you've got all these suicides now, all this depression, all this anxiety. There's increasingly no outlet to chill and let off steam. And it's like I say, it's a war on the human psyche, and it's all systematic. And one of the things that people have found difficult to grasp, and I completely understand it, as I've written this stuff over the years, is the scale of evil that we're dealing with.
It's interesting that that his take, well, what he's saying here, how it happened, how it came out of China and it worked its way across, and China was kind of the model of how to deal with this pandemic. I learned of COVID back in like late December. I started hearing about this mysterious virus in China, and by the time we went to the missions conference in January, I was starting to talk to some people about, hey, have you heard about this virus in China? And then within a week or two, I mentioned it to some of the pastors that, you know, there's this virus and we need to actually preach out against this because this thing's getting serious. So I started doing some research about it, and I came across an article, and I can't find it now, obviously because of censorship, it's gone. But it said that this virus the reason it came out of China is because if it started in North America, North Americans wouldn't stand for it. So if the virus came here, the numbers got crazy, and they locked us down, people would just go crazy, and they wouldn't have tolerated it. That's what the article said.
Really?
Yeah. So what the article said was it started in China, and it slowly worked its way to the West. And by the time it got to North America, the article said this. It said this back in like January, February, and I read it. It said, by the time this virus makes its way to North America, North Americans will easily go into quarantine and lockdown like they did in China. And it totally predicted it because they, you know, if you think about it, you know, in January we were all, you know, just living life, and you know, China's under lockdown, and then all of a sudden people started learning about it, and like, oh no, one case is here, two cases is here, oh, we're locking down the borders, and then more cases coming, and then people started getting scared, and then next thing you know, we're locked down wearing masks in no time, and we just gave it to them. Nobody put up a fight. Now people are fighting you to wear the mask. So the article was bang on that. If they started it here, they wouldn't stand for it. And they said that, and the article said that if there is to be another pandemic, it's going to come from somewhere like remote on the other side of the world, and it'll slowly work its way back over here so that we'll give up more rights again. So
it's, wow, that's a really interesting perspective that I've never thought about.
Yeah.
But you know, it's an obvious hoax because of what they're saying. It's the new normal. That's what they're rolling out. All the news media is talking about is we better get used to this new normal. Well, think about the phrase, the new normal. It's just like the new world order. It's bringing the whole world under a globalist system. It's a new way to look at the world. It's a new way to go about your life. We all need to unite and destroy the virus together. And so also what it does is, coming from a different country, is it brings the world together to fight against this virus. And so, you know, when David Icke talks about this, he says it so well. And when he was talking about the dependency on the 1%, and that that the goal is to destroy independent businesses, it makes total sense because independent businesses are, you know, not as controlled as large corporations, which are very much in control, and they usually go lockstep with the norm or whatever the government tells them to do. They'll implement those things. But think about it: the independent businesses are the ones that are fighting back against these lockdowns. And they have to destroy that independent thought. They have to bring in this new normal, to bring in the globalist system. Because, you know, when they implement the mark of the beast and stuff, you're not going to be able to buy or sell without the mark. And you have to get rid of all these, smaller chains to make that happen.
Yeah, actually, yeah. By getting rid of the small guys, it's if you think about it, if you can't buy or sell, everybody's buying on Amazon and going to the big box stores like Walmart and stuff. They all prospered, but in the end times, if you can't buy or sell anything, and you know you want to go and get whatever it is, it's going to be the small business owner that's going to sympathize with you, that might cut you that deal because he kind of understands what you know, that, oh man, if I help this guy, you know, this guy, he's my buddy, you know, whatever. But if you're going to like Amazon where you're ordering online, how are you going to order online? How are you going to do anything? You don't have access to to money or anything like that. So by getting rid of the small guys, I believe that they're just getting rid of the potential sympathizers that would help the people that didn't want to take the mark of the beast.
And you can give the illusion still of freedom.
Yeah.
Because who does all the dirty work? The businesses, all the people, the government even doesn't even have to do any of that work. Yeah. They just rely on the businesses to enforce all of their the rules.
Actually, the businesses don't even have to even really enforce. All you would do is you would go into, like, take Amazon, for example. You go into Amazon, you pick whatever you want, and then when you go to hit checkout, the button just doesn't click because you don't have access to it. It doesn't go green to check out. There's no getting angry at anybody. There's no, like, pointing any finger at anybody. There's no calling anybody. You just can't press the button.
Yeah, and a perfect example of this complete censorship is, so when they shut me down on Square, they shut down my payment processing system. Did I get this email explaining why they're shutting me down? No, they just said violation of terms of service, no longer can do it. Do they have a phone number where you can call and talk with a human to maybe work out the problem? No. Do they have a way to email them and ask questions? No. You can't ask them any questions. They shut you down. There's no recourse. You can't explain yourself. You can't try to work it out. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I got banned from my MailChimp account, my email service. And all they said is you're in violation of the terms of service agreement. And I wrote him two emails. We discussed back and forth for a little bit, and I asked him two different times. They asked me a question, so I responded. And then I also asked them a question. So why did you shut me down? What terms did I break? Because I didn't break any terms. What terms did I break to shut me down? Nothing. Silence. They don't have to answer you. There's no recourse with the big business, the big conglomerate, and that's what's taking over. Everything is being taken over. Stripe. Think about the payment processing system. Stripe, PayPal. Those are huge, and they're getting rid of all the little guys. So you can easily see how you won't be able to buy and sell in the future.
Even cash. Like, how do you put cash on all these websites, which is where everybody seems to be buying now, right?
That's another thing that David talked about, and we didn't play a clip of that, but because we talked about it a lot on this show, cashless society.
Gold, all that stuff. How are you going to transfer gold to, you know, to your Amazon account? You just can't do it. And getting back to the terms of service, in order to participate, they can even put in the terms of service whatever they want. And if you don't agree with the terms of service, you don't get to play in their market, right?
Yeah.
So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you read the terms of service and you're like, I don't agree with that, well, tough, because there's nobody that's going to listen to you because you have to acknowledge at the bottom.
There's no competition.
Yeah.
It's like, well, where do you go? It's like with YouTube. It's like, okay, I'm going to go to these independent sites. Oh, go. You can't get anyone to watch you because it's only on YouTube.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, dude, they're taking over, and people need to understand this is all an agenda.
Yeah, I keep getting asked the question, like, why would they do this? Why, you know, Paul, what would you say? Like, why? Like, I think David Icke answers it, but why is all this happening? Like, why would the world just crumble for what reason?
It's a pathological, and he said it, it's a pathological war on us. And so they want to break us down. They want to mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually just break us down so we just do whatever they say. And you know what? Because if we don't, they'll destroy us. They'll destroy us financially. They'll ruin us, our reputation. They'll just completely devastate us. And then what's the recourse? Nothing. We can't fight back. We're too small. We're just one person. And they silence you. So you can't speak. You can't speak. Where are you going to go? What platform are you going to take your grievances on? No one's going to hear it.
Yeah, David Icke's really, like, you know, like I said, like, I don't agree with his term, you know, his views on, you know, salvation and religion and Jesus and stuff like that. But he's really, like, just hitting the hammer here. on the, and hitting the nail with the hammer on the head, right? That, you know, that it's all about control. It's all about the 99% just serving that 1%, which, you know, eventually will lead to that new world order and, you know, the mark of the beast and everything else. Like, all these things have to come into play. So he's so right here.
Yeah, and you know what? Part of the large agenda, I need to get someone on the show to talk about this, but part of the large agenda is also to discriminate those who go against or stand up against any of these sayings, who speak out, just like in China, where you cannot travel. You cannot go to certain businesses. You cannot get on certain trains or buses or airplanes. You cannot travel to certain countries if you don't follow lockstep with the system. And what that does is it keeps people quiet. It keeps people in fear. It keeps people silent. So when one person stands up and takes a stand, no one backs them. So it's just a lone voice crying out in the wilderness saying, you know, what? Stop, stop. And then it's just, no one can hear you and no one's backing you up. And so you just feel alone. You know, where is everyone?
Yeah, that is so true. Like, you know, you go into the grocery store, and on that one of your shows, the first show with Lisa Palumbo, where she says, you know, say hi to the auntie, to the other people that aren't wearing masks. I go into the grocery store, and you know, I'm walking around, and I don't see anybody. I'm the only guy not wearing a mask in the store, right? And then, you know, even like church, you go to church and everybody's wearing a mask, and you're like, well, wait a sec, like, what's going on here, right? Like, and you really do feel all alone, because they kind of just look at you like, why aren't you wearing a mask? And I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, you guys drank the Kool-Aid too, you know? Like, it's just crazy.
The agenda goes so deep here, people. The people don't understand. Satan is so brilliant by doing this, because there was a statistic, and I forget the statistic, and how many, what percentage of the people who have left because of the lockdown, because of the shutdown, because church is closed, how many people are not coming back? It's an astronomical number of people who stopped going to church and that will not return to go back to church. It was a perfect plan. Churches are going to die over this. Many, many churches will die. We've been going to a bunch of different churches here in the area just to see what's out there. And, you know, we walked into this one church and, you know, there had like four or five people in it. And everyone was, you know, socially distanced. And as soon as I walked in, the pastor's like, you got to wear a mask. You got to wear a mask. Yeah. And I was like, I would rather not wear a mask if that's okay. And he's like, well, and then he lectured. He then went, this is the first time I met this guy, first time I talked to him. Then he went on to lecture me for about 10 minutes before the church service on why I should be wearing a mask and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, if it's a problem, I can leave. No worries. I totally understand. And then he was like, well, I'll let you stay for this service. But if you come back, just know that, you know, we require you to wear a mask here. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I totally understand that. And then they were going, they did the singing and stuff, and they made everyone wear the mask while they're singing. And then you could take off the mask when you're not singing. And then they did this shaking of the hands.
Yeah, shaking the hands, and shaking hands.
No one's shaking hands. Well, this is the most odd thing ever. So they were like, okay, now everyone go and say hi to everyone and shake hands. And everyone just turned around and looked at each other and just was waving from their seat like, hi, hi, hi. It was so awkward.
Yeah, no.
And I was just like, who's going to want to go to a church like that? Who's going to want to, what's the point?
I agree. Like, the one church that I've been to, they've shaken hands. So people are still shaking hands. So that's kind of good. They're wearing masks, but they're shaking hands. So that's kind of good.
Spread more germs.
Yeah, I know. But they have the hand sanitizer. But you know what? At least I can welcome that.
But human contact is what's so important about church. It's the fellowship. It's the talking. It's the seeing each other's facial expressions. It's not. When you're all covered up, that it defeats the point of church. And that's why a lot of people are just like, screw it. I'm just going to stay home and watch it on live stream and eat chips off my chest. Yeah.
Actually, the church that I was going to before COVID came or started or whatever the lockdowns, it's still closed. They still have not decided to meet or anything like that. I talked to actually one of the deacons a couple days ago, and they said, yeah, no, we're still going to stay locked down because, you know, second wave is here, and, you know, the pastor's not comfortable. So they're still locked down. There's no church happening there. So I don't know.
What is happening?
But like I said, it's good that at least people are, you know, at least in that church, you still get the human-to-human contact. People are still friendly, still shaking hands and stuff like that. So, you know, I'd rather take that than, I guess, what you got, the, you know, the, hey, how are you? You know,
yeah, like, well, I didn't the go air back fist pumps, church. Right? I didn't go back to that church. That was the one and only time I went to that church.
Yeah.
They called me the other day, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no thanks. But, you know what? We should be in church, guys. Don't be scared to go to church. Don't be scared to go to church. I mean, who are you going to put your trust in? God? Like, you need to put your trust in God. And is God going to kill you if you go to church? Absolutely. Then you should be okay. We're going to die. I mean, that was God's will then. Like, why be so scared you can't even go to church? I don't even want to say this. Is people that are very close to me have been staying with me. And, you know, they won't even go outside this house. They won't shake anyone's hand. They're so scared and petrified of the coronavirus. And nothing you can say will change them. But it's like, how is that life? You don't want to see your grandchildren. You don't want to see your. It's just weird.
Yeah. At my work, there's some guys there that have said that, you know, that they're living a life of isolation. Like their wives won't even touch them, and I'm talking about just in like the most simplest form, or like feed them. Like they'll come home from work, they'll sit at the table, and this plate will just slide in front of them, and then the wife disappears. They won't even touch them.
Because they're out on the road all day.
Because they're out on the road all day, yeah. So, and some of the guys are actually just like living in their trucks because they're not welcome at home.
Oh, that's weird.
It's crazy. It's so crazy,
man. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, you know, my wife is on board with me, and she sees through this whole hoax. And I keep saying it's a hoax, and, you know, people are probably offended by that, but it's a hoax, guys. You know, I believe that the Holocaust is a hoax. Did people die during the Holocaust? Yeah, people died during the Holocaust, but it's still a hoax. Yeah.
He just got a strike, Paul.
Okay, we'll just beep out that last little bit.
Exactly. He just got this video taken off for no reason.
I need to bleep out that. Well, it is true. It's true. It's a hoax on so many different levels, guys. Look, what they're doing to us is such a spiritual issue. I mean, not only the mass, but
So for the people that are throwing their water bottles at the screen right now, Paul, you do believe that there is a virus though, right?
Yes, of course, yes.
And that people are dying, right? So, like, you know, like, I don't know about the numbers that they're saying, but there are people that are dying.
Look, I have a very good friend of mine that got the virus when we were in Arizona. And, you know, it's a guy I trust, I love. He's been a big supporter of mine, and I call him my friend. His whole family got the virus. And so I know it's real, but it's what are you just going to give away all your rights because of a virus?
You know, the flu vaccine, you know, it has H1N1 in it. That's swine flu. So they've been vaccinating us for swine flu. So if you're like most of us, we don't take the vaccine. I'm sure you've had the swine flu, or you've had the flu in the last 10, 15 years. So you've probably had the H1N1. That was like a big deal in 2009, right?
Yeah.
And then in the flu vaccine, there's also, this is all of CDC, there's the H1N2. Have you heard of that one, Paul?
No,
I haven't. So H1N2 is the Hong Kong flu.
Oh, wow.
And the Hong Kong flu in 1968 killed 4 million people, right? So, if you know, like, we haven't even come anywhere near to that, and they locked us down. Where in 1968, we're like, come on, they didn't have any major lockdowns or masks or all this stuff going on. So, but they've been vaccinating us with that for years, as long as, you know, the vaccine's been around. You go on CDC and just research it. Every year it's H1N1, a different strain, and H1N2, a different strain. So, you know, it's, you know, people get sick. Once COVID-19's gone, there'll be another virus right behind it that's going to make people sick and people will die. It's not the virus that we have to worry about. It's what's going on behind the virus that's really, you know, taking away our rights, making us wear masks, you know, the vaccines, all this other stuff that, you know, people fought for these freedoms, you know, and now We're just giving them away.
We're saying, please take away our rights. Save us. Save us. When you have a 99.9% chance of surviving. People, wake up. All right. Well, let's play our last clip here of David Icke. And I really encourage you guys to head over to, and if you haven't yet, guys, come on. Head over to our Brighteon channel right now as this stream is going and sign up to our Brighteon channel. Subscribe to our BitChute channel. Subscribe to our Generation Conspiracy Backup YouTube channel and subscribe to Subscribestar, guys. Help me, guys. Help me out. Help me out, please. I depend on this income, and I really want to start getting people over there. I want to make sure it even works. No one's subscribed yet, so this is kind of the first video.
It probably by the time you air this, it'll be working though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. So maybe, yeah. So yeah. Hopefully I can get some people to support us on there. But yeah, so let's go to this final clip, and then we'll come back here.
One of the things I wrote about in relation to the vaccines was that he and Gavi, which is the vaccine alliance that he created with a donation of $750 million, were developing what they were calling an electronic tattoo, which would indicate technologically if you've been vaccinated or not. And what they've been developing this for a very long time, because they knew this was coming. But what they said was that we're doing it because we care about the third world. We care about the developing world. We care about all those children that we want to vaccinate. And so we want to make sure that we don't miss anyone because we care so much. So they developed this electronic tattoo, ostensibly to make sure all children in developing countries and poor countries were vaccinated. But now we see the real reason why that development was going on. It was to be played out for everybody. And the idea is that you have this tattoo, this electronic tag in effect, and there'll be technology, and where you go, that technology will pick up if you've been vaccinated or not, or if you're alleged to be infected or not, etc. And it will decide. And, you know, the British government, some documents from the British government have just been linked or leaked very recently to the British Medical Journal, the BMJ, it's called. And it's it reveals something called Operation Moonshot. And this is the plan to test vast numbers of British people, eventually everybody, ongoing. It says in Operation Moonshot that by early 2021, they want 10 million Britons tested every day. So before they go to work, before they go into the work, these are all in the documents, they have to be tested. And if they test negative, they can go to work. If they don't, then they have to go and isolate for 14 bloody days. And same, you know, if you're going on a train, if you're going to a sporting event, if you're going to a concert. This is the new normal, where through a fake virus, which even if you believe it exists, it's the death rate is insane compared with what's being done in its name. But your life will constantly be one of testing and surveillance and control based on whether you test positive, test negative, or you've had the vaccine or not. And this is what they're talking about. That we've had a member of parliament in Britain just come out, a guy called Tobias Elwood. Now, he's very significant because he is a member of the British military unit called Brigade 77, 77th Brigade, which is a psychological warfare unit of the British Army. And if you go on, if you're in Britain, maybe even further afield, but if you're in Britain and you go on the internet, like Twitter or something, and you post something that's questioning the narrative of the virus, a lot of the people that come back immediately and trash you will be from the 77th Brigade, because they've even admitted that they are seeking to shape the narrative on the internet in favor of people believing the official narrative. They've admitted that. And this Tobias Elwood, member of the 77th Brigade, said in Parliament in the last few days that the military should be used to distribute the virus, just as Trump is saying the same in America. The health secretary, a complete moron called Matt Hancock, he's just come out since and said, yes, we are going to have the military distribute the vaccine. But Elwood also said, and of course, we must develop a system of passports, which mean that literally, if you haven't been vaccinated, then you can't go to concerts, you can't go to on trains. Effectively, you can't work. And this is where it's coming from. And so when Gates says we can only go back to normal, he's lying. He does it by reflex action. He's not about going back to normal at all. He's just telling people that to manipulate their behavior. When he says we can't go back to normal until every man, woman, and child on the planet is vaccinated with his COVID vaccine, you know that this is nothing to do with health, because the vast majority of people on planet Earth are not affected by it at all. But he wants everyone vaccinated. So in there, he's going to be a sterilization agent. In there, he's going to be nanotechnology designed to change the nature of the human body. I go into all this in the answer. This is a point of human history that is unprecedented in known human history. Because if they pull this off, then Orwell was wrong, because he underestimated the scale of the tyranny a few thousand fold.
Yeah.
And because this is literally the end of humanity as we know it, because of the technology. If they pull this off. So this is a point in human history where people really do need to get the backside disconnected from the sofa and start to realize what's going on, and to start disengaging with cooperating with their own enslavement. Because we have 7-odd billion people in the world, closing in on 8 billion not too long from now, I would assume. At the core of this cult, you could get them in one room. So humanity has the numbers, but does it have the awareness to use the numbers to bring an end to this nonsense? That's what we're all working on, of course.
Wow. Well, that is super interesting, the Operation Moonshot. I definitely need to look into these things more, because, you know, I'm no expert on this show. I just, you know, that's why I like to have these guys on, because they are the ones that actually do the research. They study out these issues. And, you know, my job is to get the information out of them. You know, I try my best to do as much research as I can, obviously, but, you know, there's always so much time in the day. But I mean, the dude's right on with the Operation Moonshot, and they do want to test everyone. And that is the end game, guys. They want to control your movements, control where you're at, and control your life.
Absolutely. You know, he's talking about, you know, the 10 million people a day. Could you imagine that, just that number, just 10 million people? Just imagine every day your normal day is just going to work and getting a, you know, cotton swab stuck down your throat for a COVID test. And that's going to just be like the new normal. And
They want to control you. This is just a great excuse to do it.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. Just control you. And then, you know, you don't want to get the cotton swab in the nose. Then, you know, get take the vaccine. It's like he's saying there too in the video, you know, we need to disconnect from, you know, the sofa, because a lot of people, you know, even Christians are just sitting at home watching the news, taking the narrative, following the narrative, thinking, you know, if I just wear the mask, then, you know, this will all get better. Or if I just do this, this will all get better. If I just social distance, this will all get better. And it's not working. Like, all the measures, every time they tell us something and we just kind of toe the line, it doesn't work. So, you know, we've got to just stop watching the news and figuring out all this, getting scared with the numbers, and just, you know, kind of like he says, just get out there and get a little, you know, resist.
Awesome. Well, that's our show here today, guys. I mean, I really encourage you guys to go to our Brighteon channel, and I know I've just been pushing it on you left and right on this show, but I need you to go right now. If you didn't go in that third 3-minute break earlier, go now, subscribe to BitChute, subscribe to Brighteon, subscribe to our Patreon, and more importantly, guys, go to our Subscribestar and donate $5. I really need you guys, the few dedicated listeners I have that aren't haters, to go and show your support for me. And, you know, and this is just another thing, guys. Look, if you want to get rid of your support too, you know, if you're short on money, just go down to $1. You don't have to just get rid of it altogether. Then I think you hate me.
So, yeah, you know, this interview, this, you know, probably our conversations probably might get you some hate in the comment section. But, you know, even when I first got, like I said earlier in the stream here, when I first got turned on to David Icke, I actually approached some of my Christian friends and they were like, how can you listen to that guy? And, you know, they kind of read me the riot act a little bit. And, you know, the stuff he was saying back in February, March, when I first listened to, is pretty much what he's saying today in October 2020. And a lot of what he said has come true. So for those of you, you know, that are kind of like, how can you put this guy on your show and stuff like that? Like, like I said earlier, the guy, I don't subscribe to anything he says about, you know, salvation, religion, Jesus, any of that stuff. I don't subscribe to any of that. But the stuff that he's saying about this coronavirus and the stuff that he's presenting here, just put the hatred aside for a second and just kind of just listen to what this guy is saying here. Paul didn't, bring this guy on just to upset people. He actually brought this guy on to just give you guys some education, knowledge. Some knowledge, something, you know, a different insight to something that you may not have seen, because I was seeing the coronavirus totally different until somebody turned me on to David Icke, and he didn't influence all my opinions on the coronavirus, but he helped to open my mind to be more receptive to other avenues and to kind of understand things differently. So, you know, if I can encourage anybody, if you guys are getting ready to type some hateful stuff in the comments below, just appreciate it for what it is. We don't, you know, here at Frame the World, Paul doesn't support this guy's religious views, and he's not here to push David Icke down your throat. He's just, you know, he's just, again, he's just bringing you some information. So, just go easy.
Yeah. Well, you know, most people are. Most people realize that, you know, I'm trying something new. I'm trying to just survive and feed my family. So there's really no agenda except for, you know, I'm trying to work hard and produce content that I hope you guys like. And so make sure you support us, guys. If you do subscribe to our Subscribestar or Patreon, you'll be entered in for a chance to win these books at the end of the month. We're going to do the drawing the last day of the month. And we're going to be giving away the Synagogue of Satan book. We're going to be giving away the DNA Science and Jewish Bloodline. We're going to be giving away the Pale Rider book right here. Also, the Red Hot Preaching DVD and the new IFB Soul Winning Conference DVD, along with the Mac Daddy Prize. This 1861 Confederate States, North Carolina bill from the Confederate money. It's a legit Confederate money, a 20-cent bill. So I guess they didn't have pennies and stuff. They just issued cash for the change even. That's interesting. So this I'm going to be giving away, guys. So all you have to do is subscribe. $1 a month. Or, you know, head over to the Subscribestar and donate through there. But, of course, if you are a donor on Patreon already, all you have to do is increase that by a dollar. Or if you're $50 and up, you'll automatically be entered in for this drawing. Thanks so much for your support, guys. Any final thoughts?
No, that's it. Have a good night.
All right, guys. Good night. God bless.
Bye.